Okay, great. Let's begin. My plan is to speak about Parshas Para. The reason, obviously, why we're speaking about Parshas Para is this past week we had Parshas Zachar right before Purim. And most years, the Parsha right after Purim, we're going to read Parshas Para, as we're going to see in a second. So I thought it'd be a good opportunity to try and understand what exactly is Parshas Para, what is it of biblical origin or rabbinic origin. What is the, if it's of biblical origin, what would be the basis, what would be the source? What's the nature of the obligation? Are women obligated? And finally, can minors read? Just to give you a little bit of a survey. So let's begin. I'm going to share my screen right now. You got a nice picture of a red cow, you know, because in the Kola, we only have black and white printing. So this is always exciting when I get to use a colored picture and take advantage of the color. So you can see this nice, beautiful Para Aduma, a red cow. So the question is it really going to be a biblical obligation? So the sugya starts in the Mishnah in Megillah on Daf Chav Tes. So the Mishnah says in source number one, Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Lios B'Shabbos, Korin B'Parshin Parshas Shkalim, Chal Lios B'Socha Shabbos, Makdim L'Shavar, Mafsikin L'Shabbos Acher. So the first special Parsha that we're going to read is Parshas Shkalim. B'Shniya Zachor, the second special Parsha we're going to read is Zachor, and B'Shlishis Para Aduma. So the third special Parsha, the one we're going to read this week, is the Parsha of the Para Aduma, again, the red cow. And then finally, Berevias HaChodesh Zad Lachem. And the fourth one, you are going to read HaChodesh Zad Lachem. And Bechamishas Chozin Chesidron. And the fifth one, you go back to normal weeks where we don't have special special Parshios. It's the Machlokas and the Gemara, whether that means that the Dalet Parshios actually take over the entire week, and that's the only Parsha you read. But that's not the way we assume the Halacha, obviously. We assume that it just pushes away the Haftorahs. But why do we read the Parsha of Para Aduma where we do it? Why is it so important to read Parsha Aduma at this time of year? So Rashi on the Mishnah, source number two, tells us, Para Aduma, Lahazir es Yisrael Litahir, to warn, remind the Jews that they need to become pure. Why do they need to become pure at this time of the year? Sheyasu Pischein Betara, they're going to offer the Karban Pesach, and the Karban Pesach has to be offered in a state of purity. And therefore, we're reminded, by reading Parshas Para right now, we are going to remind people, hey, make sure you become pure, and therefore you'll be able to offer your Karban Pesach. So the question is Parshas Para a mitzvah d'oraisa? Is a mitzvah of biblical origin, or is it a mitzvah d'rabbanan of rabbinic origin? So let's start with the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch in Mitzvah Shin Tzadi Zayin writes, it's something which is a great part of our religion. It's able to purify us from really strict and a high level of impurity. And without the Parah Aduma is indispensable to being able to do the mitzvah of Pesach. If you become tameh, if you become impure, there's no way of becoming pure without doing the Parah Aduma. And therefore, it's extremely important. And the next word is the key for the Sefer HaChinuch. Nagu kol Yisrael likros Parsha Zu b'chol shana v'shabbos b'shabbos kodon l'parshas HaChodesh. Therefore, we are going to have a custom to read this Parsha each and every year, the Shabbos before Parshas HaChodesh. Ula olam imafsikim in Parshas Parah l'parshas HaChodesh. They always go back to back. We're going to make sure to have Parshas Parah the week before Parshas HaChodesh. But it's clear for the Sefer HaChinuch, is Parshas Parah a biblical origin or rabbinic origin? It sounds like it's a rabbinic origin. Why? Because Nahugu Kol Yisrael, the Jews had the custom to read this Parsha. It doesn't sound like we were commanded to read this Parsha. And this seems to be, for the most part, the mainstream view. Namely, that Parshas Parah is only going to be a mitzvah derabbanan. Again, all of Kriyas HaTorah, for the most part, is going to be derabbanan. We do have some exceptions, Hakel, maybe Zachor, as we'll talk about in a second. But Parshas Parah seemingly should be a mitzvah derabbanan. However, the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tafresh Pei Hei Sif Zayin, in source number 4, quotes an opposing view. Yesh Omrim, she Parshas Zachor u Parshas Parah Aduma chayovim lekaram mido oraisa. There are those who hold that both Zachor and Parah Aduma, you actually have a biblical mandate to read them. Therefore, lefikach, this is based on the Trumas Hadeshen, b'nei ha'yishuvin she'ein lahem minyan, srichim lavo lamakum she'yish minyan b'shabasos halalu, kidei lishmoa parshas elu she'emido reisa. You know, pick some random city in the middle of Illinois, where they don't normally have a minyan, but for these weeks, it's important to be able to go to a place where there is a minyan to be able to hear these parshios. Why? Because these parshios, namely Zachor and Parah Aduma, are going to be mitzvos de'oraisa. They're going to be mitzvos of biblical origin, seemingly disagreeing with the Sefer Achinach. And the Rama even says, "V'im yafshar lahem lavo," and let's say they can't come, "Mikom makom yizaru likrosim and nigasim v'taimam," you still have to read them with the proper trump, and showing the importance of reading these parshas. But either way, we seem to have a dispute. On the one hand, we have the Sefer Achinach, who holds that Parshas Parah is going to be a mitzvah de Rabbanan, but the Shulchan Aruch is quoting opinions who assume that Parshas Parah is going to be just like Zachor, a mitzvah de Raisa. So what's interesting is, just to note, you look in shul last week, I don't know if you guys had this in your shul, in the shul by us, there were many more people, especially women, who came to shul to be able to hear Parshas Zachor. And the question is, I don't know which minyan I'm going to go to yet this week, will there be the same crowd this coming week, especially of women? Historically, in my limited experience, no. So the question is why? Why is it seemingly, according to the Shulchan Aruch, it seems like they should be the same. But before we get to that question, we need to address what is the source of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is saying Yesh Omrim. So who are those Yesh Omrim? Who are those that say that Parshas Zachor is going to be a mitzvah d'oraisa? So the Beis Yosef in Simon Tafresh Pehe, again, the Beis Yosef was the Rav Yosef Cairo's commentary on the Torah. He actually considered it his magnum opus, more so than the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch was more cliff notes, even though the Shulchan Aruch became more popular, mainly because it's shorter and easier to read. But the Beis Yosef writes, what is my source that Parshas Parah is going to be d'oraisa? I have a Tosfos. V'kasvo b'Tosfos reish perak hayakorei. De'yesh parshios ha'mechuyavin likros d'oraisa. Tosfos holds that there are certain parshios that you have to read, and that's biblically mandated. And what are Tosos's examples? Kimo Parsha Zachor, like Zachor, uParshas Parah Aduma, and like Parah Aduma. So the Beis Yosef is saying, why am I holding, which opinion holds that Parshas Parah is going to be mitzvah d'oraisa? That's going to be the opinion of Tosos and Brachos. Great. However, there's a problem. If we look at our Tosos and Brachos on Daf Yud Gimel, again, the context is the Gemara has a drasha regarding Kriya Shema, seemingly implying that there should be certain Kriyas HaTorahs which should be De'oraisa. So all the Rishonim are trying to figure out what exactly are the Kriyas HaTorahs that are going to be De'oraisa. So if we look at source number 6, the Tosfos and Brachos, which the Beis Yosef is quoting, Tosfos says, V'yesh lomar, what's the Kriyas HaTorahs that are going to be De'oraisa? De'mayri b'parshios ha'michuyoven likros De'oraisa. We're talking about parshas that are biblically, that you're biblically mandated to read. Kimo Parsha Zachor, like Zachor, and then Tosa stops. So the Beis Yosef said that Tosa said both Zachor and Para. The problem is that Tosfos only actually mentions Zachor. Tosa makes absolutely no mention of Para. So where then, what then is going to be the source for this din quoted in the Shulchan Aruch? So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, in source number 7, in his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, actually says that it was a mistake. If you look at source 7, Parshas Parah, Betosos Shefaninu Lesa. You know, the Gra looked at our Tosos, the way that we just did, and said, it's not there. I looked for it, but it's not there. Parshas Parah didn't, Tosos makes absolutely no mention of Parshas Parah. Velo b'Megillah Yud Zayin Amabez. And there's a parallel Tosos in the Gemara, in the Sukkah, in Megillah and Daf Yud Zayin. And Tosos there also makes no mention of Parshas Parah, seemingly assuming Parshas Zachor is going to be D'oraisa, but not Parshas Parah. V'chein b'ashri perek zayin de brachos lesa ela Zachor. Also, only mentions Zachor. So what then must have happened to the Beis Yosef? V'nuscha meshubeses nizdamnen lo. It must be that Rav Yosef Cairo had a mistaken version of Tosos. In Rav Yosef Cairo's version of Tosos, right after Tosos said Parsha Zachor is going to be d'oraisa, it also Tosos also said Parsha's Parah is going to be d'oraisa. However, that is not the correct manuscript. The correct manuscript, like our manuscript set, does not have Parshas Parah on the list of things which are going to be d'oraisa. And therefore, the Gra says, it seems like there is no opinion that's going to assume that parsha's parah is going to be a deoraisa. The issue is that if we just stopped here, the Gra is a pretty compelling point. It's not in our Tosfos, it's not in Tosfos and Megillah. There's seemingly nothing to talk about. We should really hold like the Chinuch. Parsha's parah is a mitzvah derabanan. However, that's not the case. And I just quoted two, but there's many Rishonim who seem to say, actually, that Parsha's parah is going to be deoraisa, especially in different versions of the Tosos and Brachos. So I gave you two of them, but there's others as well. So if you look at source number 8, Tosos HaRash, so he has the same question as Tosos. Mihu, in the second line of source number 8, Efsher Sheyesh Kriya Shehi Min HaTorah, that there is a Kriya which is midoraisa. What are the examples? Kigon, Parsha Zachar, Uparshas paraduma v'chayotze behem. So to include Zachar, and also to include Parshas paraduma, like the Beis Yosef said, that Parshas para is also going to be a mitzvah deraisa. A side note is that what does chayotze behem mean? Some want to understand this as maybe even shkalim and hachodesh might be deraisa. But again, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote that. And similarly, Tosfos Reinu Peretz says the same thing. And here without the Kayotze Behem, the Yesh Lomar, source number 9, Demairi Beparshis Hamichuyavin, Likros de Oraisa, Kimo, Parshas Zachor, Ve Paraduma. So we see that even though in our Tosos and Tosos and Megillah makes absolutely no mention of Paraduma as examples of Parshios, which are going to be de Oraisa, Tosos Harash in Brachos, Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz in Brachos, Tosos Rihachasid in Brachos, the Ritva in Megillah, and amongst others, all seem to mention both Zachor and Para that are going to be de Oraisa, and therefore, Rav Sternbach in source number 10, rejects the Gra. V'tamua ma'od la'ukmi kigirsa mut'at. You can't tell me it's a very astonishing to say that there was a mistaken girsa in the Shulchan Aruch. You're going to say the divrei haritva b'megillah, the chen tosas rihachasid, the tosas harash, the ayin shem barash, but it also sounds like there's some level of deraisa. Shekulu pirshu lehedjal parshas para shehu deraisa. All of them are going to say that parshas para is going to be a deraisa. The heich nema shebekulu tal sofer. How can you say that all of them are going to be based on a mistaken gear? You had maybe one Tosos that might have sounded like a mistaken girsa, but there are clearly on the record Rishonim who assumed, not like the Sefer Achinach, that Parshas Parah is going to be a biblical obligation the same way that Parshas Zachar. So seemingly we have a dispute between the Sefer Achinach on the one hand, who holds that it's just a minhag and it's a demitza derabbanan to read Parshas Parah, and then we have the Ritva, the Tosas Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Tosas HaRash, which is the opinion quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, that no, Parshas Parah is not a mitzvah derabbanan. We're not just fulfilling a mitzvah derabbanan this coming week. Really, all the strict things that we say about Zachor, perhaps we should say them about Parshas Parah, because Parshas Parah is also going to be a mitzvah deoraisa. So the question is, how do we conclude? So we noted before that the Shulchan Aruch quotes it as a Yesh Omrin. And the Magen Avraham, however, wants to argue that no, Parshas Parah is not a mitzvah d'oraisa. It could be there are those that hold that way, but I don't care. Source number 11, Bishla Herech Litzadeh Parshas Parah Eina d'oraisa. The Shla wanted to prove the Parshas Parah is not a d'oraisa. V'chein Kasav Habach, V'chein Mashma B'chubas Ma'ril. Shalom Hisker Ela Parshas Zachor. All these people imply Parshas Parah is not going to be deoraisa, and that's the way the Magen Avraham seems to imply that really Parshas Parah is not a deoraisa. Still, he concludes Mikol Makom Adam Yehizar Vizar Mitzvah Lavel Minyan. You should try to come to Minyan the week of Parshas Parah. There are those who might hold that it's a deoraisa, but Meikar Adin really fundamentally it's not going to be a mitzvah deoraisa. We're going to hold like the Sefer Achinach and others that Parshas Parah is only going to be a mitzvah derabbanan. Still, it's always a good thing to come to shul. It's always a good thing to hear Kriyas HaTorah. Perhaps you'd even fill a mitzvah derais, according to some, even though the Magen Avraham does not seem to assume that way. So the Mishnah Berurah in source number 12 notes that many Achronim assume that this Parsha is not deoraisa against the Shulchan Aruch. However, in certain places, in Simon Kuf Lamed Tes and others, he seems to be machmir for those who assume that it's a deraisa. So we have the Shulchan Aruch quoting Yesh Omrim that it's a deraisa, the Magen Avraham assuming that it's a derabanan, but you should still do your best to try and come to minyan and to hear it. And then we have the Mishnah Berurah who assumes that no, it seems to take, even though many achronim seem to assume that it's not a mitzvah derabanan, in certain contexts, like for someone who's blind, being able to read, and also for someone who doesn't know how to read. So the Mishnah Berurah seems that those people should not read Parsha Zachar and Parshas Parah because of those opinions who assume that Parshas Parah is a deraisa. So that is the question regarding whether Parshas Parah is only a mitzvah derabanan or is going to be a mitzvah deraisa. So the next question to move to the next section is Parshas Parah is going to be a mitzvah deraisa? It's really nice that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting all these Rishonim that Parshas Parah is going to be a deraisa. But what makes something a mitzvah deraisa? What makes something a biblical obligation? It needs to be written and alluded to, at least, in the Bible. You know, it has to be in the Torah. So if it's not in the Torah, so then what are we? It's a non-starter. And that's actually the reason of the Magen Avraham, which we said before, who thinks that fundamentally Parshas Parah is not a mitzvah deraisa, it's going to be a mitzvah derabanan. So you look in the Magen Avraham, source number 13, in his comments in Siman Tav Resh Peh, that same piece that I quoted before. Umishum Parshas Parah, Svirlei de lohavi midaraisa. What's the proof that it's not deraisa? The be'emes ain tam b'kriyas midaraisa. The gam lo yadana hecharamiza. There's no reason to read it midaraisa, and also there's no hint, there's no allusion to reading. You look through Parshas Chukas, so the description of the Parah Aduma, and what we read is Parshas Parah. There's no command. Actually, remember, you know, the Parah Aduma, and read it every year the same way that there will be for Parshas Zachar. So if there's no source for it, why would it be deraisa? And for that's the reason that the Magen Avraham actually holds that Parshas Parah is going to be a mitzvah derabanan. We're going to suggest, however, in research for this year, I found over six sources, but we're going to suggest four. Suggest four different sources as to what the source of Parah Aduma might be. So if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan in source number 14, so he quotes that the Magen Avraham was very bothered that there's no source for Parshas Parah, so how could it be deraisa? However, according to Aruch HaShulchan, he says, actually, if you look at the second line by the bold, Ulafi ani yazdaiti nira de yesh lo remez betorah. Really, there is a hint to Parshas Parah being deraisa in the Parsha of Parah Aduma. Because if you look in Parah Aduma, it says in the middle of the Parsha, L'chukas Olam, which tells you that it applies L'doros, the Efer Parah inotali b'mikdash, the Gambiz Man Amoraim hayolam Efer Parah, that you didn't need the Beis HaMikdash to be able to use the ashes of the Parah Aduma. The din of Parah Aduma is going to apply even out after this Man HaMikdash. That's what you learn from the first Chukas Olam, namely the rule of Parah Aduma is going to continue to exist after the Mikdash. But then there's a second one, Ovisov Parsha Ksiv Od Vahesa Lahem Chukas Olam. So why does it say again? We already know that it's going to apply for all generations, if as long as you have the ashes. Why do we need a second Chukas Olam that is going to continue to exist forever? Ella da Asi le'inyan Kriyas HaParsha at Bizman de Lekar Efer Parah. That we are going to have this allusion to this idea that you're supposed to read about Parah Aduma even when you don't have ashes. Okay, we don't have any ashes anymore. We don't have any Parah Adumas as far as I know about. If you do have a Parah Aduma in your backyard, you probably can make a lot of money. But we have no Parah Aduma nowadays. But from Chukas Olam, from the extra Aisa Lahem, the Chukas Olam, we are actually going to have an allusion to that idea. The Koshkin Bizman Hazed, let's skip into the end. The leka etzem hamitzvah, so hayirusa lios ba'alan hazeh, im hayalanu efer parah, the vada yishlom sheyishchi of likros harparsha. So approach number one, how is Parshas Parah going to be a deraisa? According to Aruch HaShulchan, from the extra l'chukas olam, tell me that the din of Parah Aduma is going to apply even nowadays without a mikdash, even nowadays when we don't have efer haparah. That is approach number one. Approach number two is based on a couple of Rishonim. I gave you the Ra'avon. It also appears in the Kolbol and also the Rokeach. So the Ra'avon in Megillah says, what's the reason we read Parshas Parah now? If you look at source 15, U'Parshas Parah, Mishum Sha'amar Chazal, Sho'elin V'dorshin B'Hilchus HaPesach, Kodem HaPesach Shloshim Yom. We have, based on the Gemara in Pesachim Adav Vav, that 30 days before Pesach, we start, you know, asking questions and learning the halachos related to Pesach. And one of the halachos of Pesach is the Tamei Meis Ino Osa Pesach. someone, as we said before, based on Rashi, that someone who's impure is not able to do the Karban Pesach. Upara hilchos tuma v'tara sheyumadu Yisrael v'yasu Pesach v'tara. So we're going to make sure 30 days before Pesach to start going over the halachos of the Karban Pesach. And therefore, we need to tell you, do the Parah Aduma, because that's going to make you pure, which will enable you to do the Karban Pesach properly. So the question is, so it seems to be from the Ravan and those other Rishon I mentioned a second ago, that why do we read Parshas Parah now? It's Midin Shloshim Yom Kol Demachag. That you have to start talking about the Chag, especially Pesach, 30 days before. So is that a biblical obligation, or is that a Midin Rabbanan obligation? So if you look at the source number 16, Shud Halachah Shlomo has a great question, which would have been really interesting to discuss on Sunday, which is, what's the case? I have a case. Two people come on Purim to the rabbi, and one has a question related to Hilchos Purim, and the other person has a question related to Hilchos Pesach. Who should the rabbi answer first? So normally we hold the thing that's most relevant to the day. So, you know, if you come on Shabbos, someone has a Hilchos Shabbos question, the other person has a general question. So you take the people who are Chovas Hayom, so you take the Hilchos Shabbos question first. But what about on Purim? Purim, on the one hand, someone has a Purim question, so that's related to the day. But the other person has a Pesach question, which is also related to day. Why is a Pesach related to the day of Purim? Because that's Shloshim Yom Kol Demachag. And therefore, we have a little bit of a scenario. One person trying to ask a Purim question, one person trying to ask a Pesach question. Which one comes first? So how does Rav Shlomo Kluger answer the question? He answers, V'imkein yesh lomar d'niskaken l'shoel behilchos Pesach tila. You need to, even though they're both obligations of the day, we're actually going to answer Hilchos Pesach first. Why? Kevon dezeh havi min haTorah, ki de'alfina mikra. So, according to Rav Shlomo Kluger, the obligation of Shloshim Yom Kol Demachag is actually a mitzvah de'oraisa. And that's, therefore, if someone asks a Pesach question, and someone asks a Purim question, we're going to take the person who asked the Pesach question first, even though they're both obligations of the day, because Pesach is going to be, Shloshim Yom is going to be a mitzvah de'oraisa. And therefore, if we put the two together, the Ravan and Rav Shlomo Kluger, we have a second source as to how Parshas Parah is going to be de'oraisa. We read Parshas Parah now because of Shloshim Yom Kol Demachag. We have to start preparing for Pesach 30 days in advance. And that is a biblical obligation. And therefore, reading Parshas Parah within 30 days before Pesach is going to be a mitzvah de'oraisa. That is possibility number two. Possibility number three is the opinion of the Meshechacha, Rameir Simcha of Divinsk. So he also quotes the Magen Avraham. Everyone quotes the Magen Avraham because the Magen Avraham is the one who says, hey, there's no hint. So anyone who wants to make a hint or an allusion is going to say, hey, Magen Avraham, I got an answer for you. So the Meshechacha says in source number 17, Uledaiti humefurish. The Magen Avraham thinks there's no hint. I actually think it's an explicit idea. So in the beginning of Meseches Yuma, which Shekola actually learned last year, we have the idea that before Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to do a prisha. He has to, you know, be by himself for 7 days to prepare. And the other two scenarios where that happens is Para Aduma, and also for the Miluim, for the inauguration of the of the Mishkan. And in that context, the Gemara seems to have a drasha that even the Dibur is going to be Mi'akiv. And Rav Meshech Chachman learned from here that actually this is a reference to the different Kriyas HaTorahs. So there's going to be a Kriyas HaTorah by the Miluim, there's going to be a Kriyas HaTorah by Yom Kippur, and there's also going to be a Kriyas HaTorah by the Par Aduma. And therefore he says, Im Kain, ki alfina ledoros gam beparshas para mikra miyakva terem asiyas hapara. V'nimsa b'shas asiyas hapara mikra parsha miyakva v'havi oz de'oraisa. That there was actually this biblical obligation when you did the process of the Para Aduma to accompany it with a Kriyas HaTorah. And that is going to be on a de'oraisa level, the same way, again, it was going to be for the Miluim and also for the inauguration of the Mishkan, and for Yom Kippur. So the people who are bothered by that, is that really true by Yom Kippur? But either way, that's approach number three, that we're going to learn from the fact that there was a Kriyas HaTorah at the time when they originally did the Parah Aduma, so too we're going to have a mitzvah de oraisa of a Parah Aduma. Is that really true nowadays for the Meshach Chachma? There's what to debate there. Achorim take it in different ways. So that's approach number three. So approach number one was that it's going to be the Aruch HaShulchan from an extra Chukas Halom in the Pasuk. Then we have approach number two, which is the Ravan and the Halach L'Chashlomo, who assume that it's Midin Shloshim Yom Kodim L'Chag, which could be a mitzvah d'oraisa. Then we have the Meshach Chachma, who thinks that it's learned from the Kriyas HaTorah that happened. And then we have the fourth opinion, which is the opinion of the Malbim, which is an amazing, amazing take. So source number 18, so we're in Moshe Rabbeinu's last speech to Bnei Yisrael, where he's giving them all the mitzvah, all the musar. And Pasuk, Perek Tes, Pasuk Zayin, Zechor al Tishkas, Eis Asher Hiksafta, Es Hashem Lokecha Bamidbar. Remember, don't forget, that sounds familiar, you know, from Amalek, which we just read, that you angered Hashem in the desert, L'min Hayom Asher Yatzos Me'er Tetraim Ad Bawachem Ad Amakum Hazah, Mamrim Hayisim Im Hashem, you've been a rebellious bunch with God. So the question is, what exactly are we supposed to remember? So if you look at the Malbim in source number 19, V'hine b'maisa egel, shekasa bo gamkein zechor al tishkas eis asher hiksafta. So the psukim after this are going to describe what exactly happened at the chet egel. So the Malbim understands that the psukim are talking about you have an obligation to remember the chet egel. Uvetoras kohanim darish l'gamkein shechiyov l'zachor b'peh. That when it says zechor, when it says remember, the same way by zechor of Amalek, we have to an obligation to remember it b'peh, but we have to actually articulate that. So too, we're going to have that by the chet ha'egel. So the question is, sarachian, amai lo tiknu bo kriyas ha'torah. If we have an obligation to remember the chet ha'egel, then why don't we, the same way by zechor we have a kriyas ha'torah, why don't we have a kriyas ha'torah by the chet ha'egel? So v'ayim b'magin of Ram Shamsha Kasam Neshu Gnusan Shal Yisrael, we don't want to, you know, it's a disgrace of Yisrael, and therefore we don't want to embarrass Bnei Yisrael by talking about their disgraces, you know, their low hour of the Chet HaEgel. But Malbim then says an amazing idea, which is relevant for us. V'nir Shemitam Zeh Tiknu Parshas Parah. This is the reason why we have a mitzvah d'oraisa of Parshas Parah. We have people who think it's a deraisa, v'alecha mishna tamaleyem, lama yemen haTorah, ulefize nira, shel yedei she'i efshar likrot ma'isa egel shu gnuson shel Yisrael. We have an obligation to remember chet ha'egel, but we can't do that via kriyas haTorah, because we don't want to read about, you know, the disgrace of the Jews in public. So how do we fix that? Tiknu bavuro parshas parah. We are actually instead going to have Parshas Parah. So we can't remember Parshas of the Egel, but instead we'll read Parshas Parah. Why? Because Shekol Ma'aseha Haya Negen Ma'aseha Egel. Somehow, some way, as quoted by Rashi Ala Torah, the mitzvah of Parah Aduma is supposed to serve as an atonement. It's supposed to serve as a mechaper for the Chet HaEgel. So if you look, what idea is he referencing? It's one of those interesting Shnai Mikra Rashis, where Rashi goes through all the psukim, and then at the end, in Parshas Chukas, he says, actually, I want to go backwards and give you a new perish of the psukim based on Rav Moshe HaDarshan. So in source number 20, Medrash Agada Etakti Mishodosh Rav Moshe HaDarshan, V'yichul Eilecha, you have to take the Parah Aduma from your money, Mishalahem. Why does it have to be from yours? Kishem Shehem Parku Nizme Hazav Le Egel Mishalahem. The same way you took your own gold for the Chet HaEgel, Kach Yavi Zu Le Kapara Mishalahem. But for the Parah Aduma, which is going to serve as the atonement, so too you have to take your own money. And similarly, he says in Parah Aduma in the next Rashi, Mashal Ben Shincha Shetinef Paltin Shalmelech Amru. You know, the son of a maid server makes a huge mess. Amru Tavo Imov Tekanei Chasoa. Let the mother come and wipe up, the big mess that he made. Kach tavo para v'techaper al ego. So let the cow come and atone for the calf. So this idea that the para aduma is supposed to be a kapara for the chet ego, and really according to the psukim for the malbim, parshas para, we should have a mitzvah to remember the chet ego. We can't do that like Amagin Avram said, because that would be a disgrace to Bnei Yisrael. And therefore, instead, we are going to read every year on a biblical level the parsha of Parshas Para, which is going to take that place and serve as our way of remembering the Chet HaEgel. So those are the four approaches, which as to how Parshas Para could be d'oraisa, again, either from the extra Chukas Olam, it could be Shloshim Yom called the Machag. It could be from the fact that there was a Kriyas HaTorah in the times where they actually had a Parah Aduma. Or number four, that it's taking the place of remembering the Chet HaEgel. So the question is, what is the nature of this obligation? How are we supposed to view the nature of the reading Parshas Parah? So generally by Kriyas HaTorah, for the most part, we assume that there's not an obligation for each and every individual to read Kriyas HaTorah. So it's based on a Mishnah in Megillah, a famous Mishnah in Megillah on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis, where it says that you need 10 people for certain things. You can only do these things with 10 people. One of the things on the list is Kriyas HaTorah. However, based on the Sugya in Megillah on Daf Hey, the way the Rif quotes it and the Baal Maor's question, there's something glaring missing from this list, namely Kriyas HaMegillah. The Megillah is not going to be on this list of needing 10 people. So the Rishonim are struggling as to why is it that Kriyas HaTorah is going to be on the list of things that require 10 people, but Kriyas HaMegillah, which might also require 10 people according to some Rishonim always, like the Rif, is not on the list. So the Ramban in source number 23 argues and has an amazing, amazing distinction. So Amar HaKosif HaShnuyim B'Mishnah Seinu Kulam Chovas HaTzibor Ein. Anything listed in the Mishnah that requires 10 people, it's not just that it needs 10 people, rather these are fundamentally obligations relating to the congregation. V'Einan Ela B'Mechuyim B'Davar. It has to be people who are currently obligated. They have not yet discharged their obligation. Aval Megillah K'Shem SheHaTzibor Chayiv Kach Kol Yochid V'Yochid Chayiv. So by Kriyas HaTorah, there's an obligation on the tzibur. It's a chovas hatzibur. It's an obligation of the community. However, by Megillah, it's not just an obligation on the community. Rather, each individual has an obligation to read the Megillah. Therefore, v'yachid shalokara, if a single person has not yet read the Megillah, since it's obligation on each and every individual, sarach yod misham person when you say, yeah, you still might need 10 people, but that's not because it's a chovas hatzibur. Rather, it's going to be because it's a chovas hayachid. It's because it's an obligation on individual, and you need 10 people because of persuming nisa. Unlike Kriyas HaTorah, which if one person hasn't yet read Kriyas HaTorah, we normally say, okay, he'll be okay because it's not a obligation on each individual, rather it's an obligation imposed on a community, it's imposed as a chovas hatzibur. Again, famously, not for now, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik disagreed with this and assumed that even Kriyas HaTorah is a chovas hayachid, but either way, what emerges for us right now is based on the Ramban, the simple understanding of the Ramban, normal Kriyas HaTorah, normally when you read the Torah, is a chovas hatzibur, is not a chova on each and every individual. However, there seems to be an issue, which is that if you look in source number 24, the Shulchan Aruch seems to assume that both Parshas Zachor and Parshas Parah are not going to be Chovas Hatzibors. They're actually going to be obligations imposed on each and every individual, and that's going to impact things like leaving during shul, making sure you're paying attention during the leaning, etc. Seemingly assuming that even though all the Kriyas HaTorahs, like we just said a second ago based on the Ramban, are a Chovas HaTzibur, they're just obligations imposed on the congregation. They, Zachor and Para, since they are De'oraisa, are going to be imposed on each and every individual. I'm not going to read all of them now because I'm already running a little late. But the Mishnah Berurah and the Shla disagree. They think that the Shulchan Aruch assumes that they are going to be Parah and Zachar are the exceptions because they are Deraisa. The Shla, remember quoted before, assumed that even if these are going to be Derabanan, he actually thinks that all the dollar Parshios are Chovas HaYachad. But the Mishnah Berurah thinks that even according to those who assume that Parshas Para is Mitzvah Derabanan, like the Gra and others, nonetheless, they're still going to assume that there's still a Chovas HaYachad for Parshas Para. So the Shulchan Aruch said, to be a Chovas HaYachid, it needs to be a Mitzvah D'oraisa. But the Mishnah Berurah assumes no. Even for those who assume that Parshas Parah is a Derabanan, like the Gra and others, still it is going to be a Chovas HaYachid. So either way, for the Mishnah Berurah and for the Shulchan Aruch, even though normally Kriyas HaTorah is going to be a Chovas HaTzibur, Parshas Parah is going to be a Chovas HaYachid. The Binyan HaShlomo, however, distinguishes between Zachor and all the Dar Parshios. That Zachor is going to be a Chovas HaYachid. However, Parshas Parah and Shkalim and HaChodesh are like any other Kriyas HaTorah, and they're going to be a Chovas HaTzibur. And perhaps that's why we're not going to be as strict regarding coming to Shul and making sure everyone's going to be there. Because fundamentally, Zachor is a Chovas HaYachid. Every individual is obligated to hear Parshas Zachor. However, Parshas Parah might just be an obligation on the Tzibur, like a normal Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore you might not have to make the special effort. So again, just three different perspectives. Is Parshas Parah going to be a Chovas HaYachid because it's a mitzvah d'oraisa? That's the Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah, that even though it's a derabbanan according to some, it will still be a Chovas HaYachid. And then we have the Shut Binyan Shlomo in source number 28, who assumes that no, Parshas Parah is actually going to be a Chovas HaTzibur like any other Kriyas HaTorah, and Parshas Zachor is going to be different. So just to close with two more interesting, relevant halachic points regarding Parshas Parah. So are women obligated to hear Parshas Parah? So if you look in source 30 before source 29. So Nitei Gavrio quotes from the Mikrei Kodesh, who I believe is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, and that's who he's quoting, but I couldn't find it quoted in his Sefer, that he assumes that women are actually going to be included in the obligation of Parah Aduma, the same way women came to Parshas Zachor last week, they would have to come to Parshas Parah this week. Why? Because women are obligated in Parah Aduma, in Karban Pesach like any other person. Therefore, they need to be pure. So therefore, they got to make sure they're pure. So they have to make sure to hear Parshas Parah. However, that is not the majority opinion. The Nitei Gavriel says in source 29, Nashim Turas Mikriyas Parshas Megillah. Even if you assume that Parah Aduma is going to be De'oraisa, women are going to be exempt from Parshas Parah. So if you, and that's the point as quoted by the Piskei Tshuvos in source 31. Amnam Afki Parshas Zachor. Again, the whole discussion by Zachor, not for now, whether women are obligated. But even those who obligate women to hear Parshas Zachor, by Parshas Parah, everyone's going to agree, again, minus the Mikrai Kodesh, but Shem Chacham Echad, that women do not have to hear. Even if you assume Parah is going to be Deoraisa. So the question I want to ask is, why would it be that Zachor is going to be different by Parah? If you assume that both are going to be biblical obligations, so why would it be by Parah, by Zachor, you're going to have a biblical obligation, but by Parah Aduma, you would not have, by Zachor, women have to come, but by Parah Aduma, women don't have to come. So I want to suggest three different approaches. One from the Rav Sternbach, the other one from Rav Cement, who is actually from Chicago, but I think he now actually moved to Lakewood. And number three, which is based on Rav Waldenberg, the Tzitz Eliezer. So the Rav Sternbach says in source number 32, because there's a fundamental difference regarding Parah Aduma and Zachor. Zachor is related to destroying Amalek. And as we know, in the time of Milchemas Mitzvah, even a Kala from her Chuppah is obligated to participate. And therefore, Zachor is obligation on each and every individual. And therefore, since it's an obligation even on each and every individual, each individual woman is going to be included. Aval Taras Parah Aduma Mitzvah Shechal Al Hatzibur Dafka. The purification of a Parah Aduma is a mitzvah that is a mitzvah Hatzibur. And therefore, Velochal Anashim. It's not going to apply to women because women are not going to be included in the Tzibur for these purposes. Again, it's going to be related to women not giving the Machasis HaShekel. Ayena, Rabbi Kiva, Eger Safik, whether women should be included in the mitzvah of, in the Tefillah of Masav. But according to Rav Sternbach, namely, Zachor is going to be, women are going to be obligated because women are included in that obligation, in that mitzvah. Unlike by Parah Aduma, where it's a mitzvah on the tzibur, and therefore women are not going to be included. The mitzvah of Melech actually answers, or Semen, in source number 33, based on the idea that we just said a couple minutes ago, which is, Parsha Zachor is a chiyuv on each as a chovas hayachid. So since it is a chovas hayachid, women are going to be included. Every person is an obligation on each and every individual to chovas hayachid to be here at Kriyas HaTorah. However, Parshas Parah, on the other hand, we said, from the Shud Binyan Shlomo is going to be an obligation on the Chovas HaTzibur. And like we said a second ago from Rishterbach, it could be that women are not going to be included in the Tzibur. So approach number one, why are women not going to be obligated in Parah Aduma? Either the mitzvah is a mitzvah HaTzibur, or two, that the Kriya is going to be is on the Tzibur. The Tzitzel has a very clever answer, that according to the Malbim, why is Parah Aduma going to be Midoraisa? Because it's really remembering the Chet HaEgel. But who didn't famously participate in the Chet HaEgel? Women, right? They didn't give their jewelry to participate in the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, they don't need to be included in the mitzvah to remember the sin of the Chet HaEgel. And therefore, women are going to be included. So I just want to end with Katan. Can a Katan read Parsha Zachor? So the Ramah in source number 35 in Siman Reish Pei Beis assumes that a Katan can read all the Dari Parshios, including Parsha Zachor. However, the Mishabrua is Machmir that a Katan will not be able to. Again, and every Bar Mitzvah person, every Bar Mitzvah boy, there should be a question. The same way, it's a whole debate whether a Katan can read from Parsha Zachor. Or a bar mitzvah boy should read Parshas Zachor. There's going to be a similar debate regarding Parshas Para. I actually, my bar mitzvah parsha was Parshas Kisisa, and it was a week where Parshas Para fell out on Parshas Kisisa. I actually leaned Parshas Para, but according to Mishnah Berurah, it seems that, especially based on the Mishnah Berurah we said before, that he wants to be machmir, that Parshas Para is going to be a deraisa. Again, in the context of blind people and people who can't read. So similarly, it seems like for a katan, for someone who's a bar mitzvah boy, again, it's a much more complicated sugya, it would seem that he would think that I did the wrong thing and should not have read, but others are going to disagree. So just to review, we had a debate whether Parshas Parah is going to mitzvah d'oraisa or not. We spoke about maybe the mistaken girsa in Tosfos, but all the other Rishonim seem to disagree. We spoke about why would there be a mitzvah d'oraisa. We spoke about the four reasons. We spoke about the reason of Aruch HaShulchan, the repetition of Chukas Olam. We spoke about the Meshech Chachma, which is going to be that there was a Kriyas HaParsha in the times of the Para. We spoke about the Malbim, which is going to be a remembrance of the Chet HaEgel. And we also... and that it might be Shloshim Yom Kol L'cha, based on the combination of the Ravan and the Halav L'cha Shlomo. We spoke about the fact that even though normally Kriyas HaTorahs are going to be Chovas HaTzibors, Parshas Parah might be a Chovas HaYachad, specifically because it's a Reisa for the Shulchan Aruch, or even to the Rabban according to Mishnah Berurah. Or maybe that really Parah is going to be a Chovas HaTzibor, and Zachor is going to be the Daraisa. We spoke about women, that why the three reasons why a woman might be exempt. Again, either because women are not included in the mitzvah of Parah Aduma, because it's a mitzvah for the Tzibor. They're not included in the Chovas HaTzibor of the Kriyas HaTorah. Or because women did not sin at the Chet HaEgel. We discussed the dispute between the Ramah and the Mishnah Berurah, whether women, whether Katanim can read from the Parsha of Parah Aduma. And hopefully, with this background, we'll be able to have a more meaningful Parsha of Parah Aduma this year, and be able to, Emir Tashem, Bizman B'yat HaMashiach, be able to relive this mitzvah, and be able to not just remember Parsha's Parah, but be able to actually do the whole Torah process of Parah Aduma.